Okay, here we go again. So, all right, so what I'm going to do on the next, it might take me 10. I've got 10 suggestions here from the Bible. Everybody likes to cite a religious authority, and religious authority comes down to that idea about information that I've talked about before. Information is the coin of the realm for living systems. We have to stay organized. And in order to stay organized, you need information. Information is a code for a pattern of matter and energy in time and space. It reduces it to fundamental properties that allow us to study it in the evolving church of science. Scientists can look at time, space, matter, energy, and all its different forms and piece out how life and living systems work. I'm a physiologist, Dr. Gene Mesko, and I like to study biological function. And I've been trying to figure out artificial selection. And I've been penning notes for what I like to call the Bible. Put an O in that Bible. And the biological Bible, the idea of a set of rules, some ethical codes that we could possibly share that would allow us to have a better world, to have a better life, would base more on reality than the crap that we have dishing around now. Because what we have now is philosophical ideas and different pieces of information that are all linked to ideas about how we should organize society. We have capitalism and democracy and autocracy and fascism and religion and Christianity and Islam and all these different things. And as a scientist, you learn to be objective. You try to be objective. We all have our biases. We all have our baggage. But when you step back and you say, what's real? Well, life's real. Death is real. Pollution is real. Growth is real. Things change over time. That's what evolution studies. And so when you look at human civilization through the lens of evolution and think about the idea of artificial selection, you say, what's going on? How can I, as a conscious being, alter this system? Because that's what artificial selection is. Natural selection boils down to mutations in DNA that produce different anatomies, different physiologies, different structures and functions that exist in different organisms, and they interact in different ecosystems. And some of them survive and reproduce, and others don't do as well, and sometimes they go extinct, and others expand, and then they mutate and evolve into different things. And this has been going on literally for billions of years on planet Earth, as far as we can tell. That's what the evidence tells us. There's no evidence that any of the 3,000 deities that humans have created over the years are anything other than an adaptation made up by human minds. So that's where artificial selection comes in. So natural selection just lets us act. And we have some residue from natural selection, obviously. We're mostly hairless apes. And we have emotions, we have feelings, we have sensory input. We are limited to sensing the environment through our senses. But what we figured out is technologies that can extend our senses. And they're all limited. Everything has its limits. And that's one of the big lessons in the Bible, is you got to find out where the boundaries are. And this is the first suggestion then. So suggestion number 10, number one, I got a list of 10. We're going to do the top 10. And understand your environment. That's where we're going to go today. Because understanding your environment boils down to fucking being aware. Wake up and smell the coffee. Look around you and assess where you are. Appreciate how you got to where you are. Think about your ancestors. Think about your family. Think about all the baggage that went into your development. Wherever you are in life, you could be young, you could be old, but wherever you've got something going on, you can have different inputs. I have my inputs. I have my recovering Catholicism. I've got my big family, my big Central European white Caucasian family. I've got my training and education. I have raised my own family. All of that impinges on who you are. And I'm still at the point, though, right now, where I'm a biologist, and I look, and I really think if everybody would embrace a little more reason and logic, look at the evidence, and try to do things like science. Now, if I was king of the world, I actually would require for citizenship a published scientific paper in a peer-reviewed journal from anybody who wanted to call themselves an adult. Because until you go through the process of doing science, I don't think you really appreciate it. You really don't appreciate the fact that you have to grind out some information. You have to look at a system and study it and analyze it. Look at what's been done before. Look at what other people have said about it. And to find something new. And to find something new and then figure out how it works and explain it to the rest of us. And it could be something as tiny as a molecule in a biological system. It could be rock formations. It could be weather patterns. Or at least create something at the artistic side. New music. If you're not creating or discovering, you're really not pushing the boundaries, because that's what we can do. The limits here. Understanding your environment means understanding what's in your environment, what's controllable, what's in your sphere of control, is what my wife likes to use, and what's outside your sphere of control. Until you understand where the lines are, you really can't do anything in life, or you can't do anything well, because you don't know what's going to happen. You're operating from ignorance. And that's the whole process of development. We all look around and we're trained. My wife and I have talked about raising our kids as continually moving back the fences. Just like you put your kid in a playpen so they can crawl around and be safe without you watching them every second, eventually you let the kids out of the playpen and you let them in the yard, and but the yard has fences. And then eventually they get to go to the playground down the street. And ideally, those are all safe environments. But that's where certain people, the people who want to keep us from thinking and being rational, don't want us to have time. They don't want us to have safety. Fear is the biggest enemy to logical thinking, to reason, to operating in a scientific manner, to logically going through the evidence, discussing things, looking at possibilities, testing things. That all has to be done calmly and rationally. And if you're running around chasing your tail, working from paycheck to paycheck, obviously you can't do that. And that's why we live in the world that we live in today. Because the powers that be, the people with the money, the new economic aristocrats who've climbed up their vertical towers, their economic pyramids, each have oodles of money, and they're all, and it's diverse, but ultimately they're all about making money. That's the ones you got to watch out for. Now, athletes, entertainers end up on the left because they actually work for their money. They go out and do something. What's happened on the right is you got a bunch of people who are basically the investor class. The people who've realized that if they can just own something, they don't have to fucking work. They fucking get to sit on their ass in their penthouse and tell other people what to do. And I'm over that. I am just over. No more kings. That's where I am. And that's part of understanding your environment. That's who we have right now. We have a whole bunch of people who want to be kings, who want to run their own little thing. And I'm coming at it from, I think we should have bottom-up government. And I think that's what the Evolving Church of Science tells us, is that if we're going to do this, we have to form our own new political units, because the old ones don't work. The old nation states are all built off of monarchies. They're all built off these power structures that allow somebody to get to the top and organize stuff. And the only thing that anybody should be on the top of is freaking public utilities. We should just have people who provide services. And they don't have to be public. They can be private corporations. But that's where we're going anyway. They want to monetize everything. But they want to monetize everything and they want to own everything. And they want to make the rest of us sharecroppers. That's what the fucking new economic aristocrats want. Because if I don't own anything, if I don't have any piece of, if I don't have a private place of my own, if I don't have a retirement, if I don't have health insurance, I gotta scrape every moment. And I gotta grind. And I gotta get out there and work every freaking day. And that is what the bosses want. That's what they want us to do. Because then I don't have time to organize. I don't have time to question. And questioning authority is going to be another lesson we'll have down the road from the Bible. But understanding your environment means appreciating history, looking where we are. And where we are right now is we're, hopefully, and I don't think, well, maybe not, we're near the end of the colonial era. Approximately 500 years ago, European powers had the right mix of technology to do navigation and weaponry, and they basically went out and formed colonies everywhere. And they realized it was really cool to claim ownership on something. If you had to shoot a bunch of people in the process, that's okay. And then, but then media came along, and we had this wacky 20th century where we were able to communicate more. And people said, "What the hell's going on?" And we chose democracy. We built off the American model, and all these colonies broke away, and we went from 50 nations 100 years ago to 200 nations nowadays, because everybody said, screw it, I don't want a boss. We want to be our own bosses. And that's what adults do. That's the beauty of adulthood, is you get to be your own boss. you get to be on top of things, but you can only be your own boss if you have resources, if you have access to enough space and food and energy and all the things that you need to be civilized in the modern world, and you're not pressured to maintain them. You've got a stable system, and that's where we need to go. We all need to build our own stable systems within whatever's going on in the economy and help each other out and start building communities that are functional. And the main function is adulthood versus children. That's one of the things that capitalism does really poorly as a system of government. Capitalism makes no concessions for the biological realities of human existence. The fact that it takes us about 20 years to develop. The fact that most of us, because of medical technology, are going to have some declining years at the end of our life that we'd like to call the golden years, go into retirement. But you're not producing anything. Children don't produce anything. Old people don't produce anything. Sick people, genetically challenged people who might have birth defects. None of those are pluses on the balance sheet. All of those are deficits. All of those cost money. And therefore, they're frowned upon, ultimately, in the capitalist system. Excuse me. I got so annoyed years ago, working since back in the 80s it started. Personnel departments disappeared and we became human resources. If you've only worked for human resources, you appreciate that you're just a resource to be managed. Whatever the books in business school said, that's how people run companies nowadays. And what we need to do to change the environment is to change every company into its own little democracy. If we want democracy to be our government, if we want people to be able to have to control their own life, their own liberty, their own pursuit of happiness, then everybody who's producing something for the economy needs to be appropriately compensated for that production. Because we all vote with our dollars. That's voting as far as democracy is going away, because the rich people, the new aristocrats, the economic elite, have realized that they can buy politicians. They can buy elections, they can manipulate the system, and they have these representatives supposedly out there representing us who really aren't responsive to the people underneath them. They're answering to their corporate donors, to their rich owners, and they should wear suits with decals like NASCAR. They should just go ahead and admit that they're bought and sold and paid for by a whole bunch of moneyed interest. And that's not true for everybody, but that's where it's going. That's where democracy is slowly fading away, because capitalism is the other choice. That's my interpretation of the environment that I see on our planet right now. In terms of Western civilization, the Europeans took over the planet, and people rebelled against all the aristocrats, and the royals fell out. Royals fell out back at 100 years ago. That's where the Tsar got thrown out, the Austria-Hungarian, the kings. Got more democracy in the UK, and we had the states rise up, and America picked up the baton of world leadership after World War II. And everybody said, let's do this life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness thing. And if we do this life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness thing, then we could have a functional society. And it peaked in the 50s. We had about a 20-year run where everybody talks about, and that's what the orange turd in the White House invokes. The orange turd invokes this beautiful idea of make America great again. Go back to the 50s. Well, what was the deal in the 50s? We had about a 70% tax rate on the rich. And we were building new schools. We had a huge industrial capacity left over from World War II, because that's how we won the war. We threw enough tanks. You know, the Germans had way better tanks than the Americans, in case you're unclear on that. But the fact that we could put 10 Shermans in the field for every Panzer meant that somebody was going to get a lucky shot in. And we eventually won, but by sheer bulk of resources, because that's what life boils down to. Staying alive is nothing more than making sure you get enough nutrition, you get enough activity to keep your bones and muscles active, you get enough intellectual stimulation to pursue your happiness, and that's all life's about. But that's having resources. And that's the environment we're in, where these elites love these vertical corporate huge monsters that we've constructed, these entities that have no accountability because they're so rich then they can manipulate the law and manipulate the courts and manipulate the politicians because they have so much money that the rules are different. You can only have a democracy when the rules are the same. Everybody's on an even playing field, and then we can sit down and discuss something. So step one is you got to get educated. That's one of the big problems. You got to understand this stuff. And just looking at it from a biological perspective, distributing resources is pretty basic. Everybody should have their own home. Everybody. Example, here's an example from our current weird mentality. The idea that we've got people that we want to incorporate into society to have homes. So we build public housing. But then what do? We rent it to them. If you're going to give somebody something, give them it. A gift with conditions is not a gift. There's no such thing as a gift with conditions. Either you're giving them something or you're not. And if we want to get people out of poverty, as a society, we should say, we're going to build a home. If you take care of it, it's going to increase in value. Anybody who's owned a home can appreciate that real estate goes up in price because they're not making any more. And as we're making more people, that means there's less space. It's a pretty basic equation. And that's the part, that's what rational thinking will get you. If you bother to sit down and try to understand things, well, why do prices keep going up so excessively? Well, because people keep skimming off more money off the top. As we shift away from local economies, and we shift to larger economies under these vertical corporations where they have rich aristocrat elites, the new economic elites sitting on top of these corporate pyramids, they've got to suck up more money. Because the big boss really doesn't do anything except coordinate stuff. And they manipulate markets and they fund investments and things. Sure, they build some stuff, but the people on the ground are the ones doing it. And if you're not getting compensated for all the work you're doing, then that's the problem, because you need to be able to afford healthcare. You need to be able to afford education. You need to be able to afford nutrition. You need to be able to afford housing. And if we're not building an economy that supplies those, that's a problem. And we should be talking to each other about that. But that's not what we talk about. We talk about who's gay and who's Jewish or who's Islam, who's Muslim. I don't give a shit. Nobody gives a shit what religion you are or who you sleep with. If it's consenting adults, it's consenting adults. If you're not taking care of your children, that's on you as a parent. And that's the real problem in our society. Our environment right now doesn't serve the majority of people. It's not a very democratic system. It is a system that's evolved to funnel money up into these huge corporate structures. And because those people at the top don't do anything, they just have to keep raising the prices to generate more cash. Because as they build these structures, there's more inefficiency. Any system always has inefficiencies. That's one of the things you learn in science. If you study any science, you learn that transfers of energy are not 100%. That's why there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine. There's always a little bit of entropy. There's always a little bit of decay. And that because those inefficiencies are there, the most efficient way to make things is to keep them as local as possible. So we should have more local merchants. What happened? You know, what was America great for? No, wasn't it great when we had a downtown and you could go down to the local diner and get something and you knew everybody and you'd go to the local club and hear some music from local musicians and everybody was pretty good. Yeah, and you could go to the big city. And you could go up to the bigger city and see more stuff and have other options. But that's the gradient. That's the whole point. How much do we need those bigger cities? They were all built because people started building bigger corporations and they started bigger entities. But now the technology is leveled out. We can communicate, we can ship things. We don't need those huge aggregates anymore. Now, Amazon's a really cool idea, but does the guy at the top, he should be rewarded for that idea, but should he be making billions? Shouldn't some of that money trickle down to the workers? Shouldn't they have health plans and retirement plans and fucking dental and medical and all of that stuff and money to send their kids to school and to buy their own homes? That would be a more perfect union if we could build that. And what does it involve? The only thing it involves in terms of understanding our environment is that the real problem right now is that there's no limit on the top. There's no limit on the top. That's the problem. In reality, there are boundaries. There are limits to how much you can pollute in an ecosystem before it collapses. There's a limit to lifespan. There's a limit to how fast you can move off a plane, how fast you can move something around on the road safely. Now, there's limits on everything, but we don't limit our artificial selection. We don't limit our artificial adaptations. We don't account for human development. We don't say, oh yeah, it's great, you should have a family, but I'm not going to change your pay or give you family leave to raise a kid so that kids can develop with a parent around who's actually freaking responsible for them. You know, most of us have to deal with two parents dealing with income now. Sure, when we make America great, we can go back to that beautiful time when mom was home, when June Cleaver was taking care of the beeve, and have only one parent incomes. But you can't do that unless there's a high pay for that one parent, unless the money comes out of those systems that are those corporate entities, those businesses, those engines of the economy. They need to pay all the workers better. They need to pay, and if you look at the numbers, ever since the late 70s, worker productivity has gone up, but it's been relatively stagnated. Because what happened after we got through the 80s, we had this idea of the Cold War, which was really capitalism versus communism. But it was really democracy versus capitalism. It was, do the people have something to say, or are we just going to make rules about how the money works? And when communism fell apart as the last big component, then we all embraced this new idea of neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is a philosophy that it's been around for a while, but it really came to fruition in the 90s, and it's where we're going with everything. It's putting a price tag on everything. It's monetizing everything and saying, oh, we have to make these adjustments. And we give lip service to helping people out. But bottom line is, it's not enough. There's too much being sucked off at the top. The billions of dollars that flow up into all of these people who just have these investment portfolios is ridiculous. We should have some investment portfolios, but there should be a cap. We have to cap it. We have to control it. And if we don't control it, it'll keep going the way it's going. And we'll go back to having kings, which is how we ran civilization for freaking millennia. And a democracy will appear as a little blip in some dusty history books that don't ever get read because they'll be pushed to the back shelf because nobody reads books anymore. Why don't we read books? Books are beautiful versus the internet because you have to stop and think. That's what we don't have enough of. We don't have time. Time and energy and matter and space are all we've got. If you reduce it to those basic fundamental levels, you can get a different view of the environment. You can understand things when you reduce them to their fundamental components. That's what science does for you. And if you don't stop and look around and try to figure stuff out, as Ferris told us, you're going to miss something. And that's the problem. That's why they want to keep us busy. That's why they throw out information over a lot. Frickin' unplug the computer, shut the TV off, read a book, stop and think, take a walk in the woods. If you can find woods near your house, if you have any sort of nature. No, but if you're up, if you got to get up for the next day, if you're just constantly jumping from one feed to the next, doing nothing but trying to get stimulation, then you're just being an ape. You're just being a mostly hairless ape, and you're responding to stimuli. And that's a biological function. We do that. But humanity, consciousness, civilization all depend on rational thought. We have to think about how to make things work, how to maintain things. And you have to take a long-term perspective if you want it to last. You can't just think about the next paycheck. You got to be able to have, and in order to do that, you got to have the resources. And how do we get them? Well, we redistribute stuff. We push on the bottom. We get rid of the kings. There's no reason we can't have a more balanced distribution of resources within different companies. And people just need to realize that we have the power, that the people at the bottom, who are the majority in the population, can go up to the bosses and say, fuck you. You know, it's ridiculous that some of these people make the money that they do. It's obscene when you talk about stuff. It's just absolutely criminal, or it should be. But it's not, because what we have in our society right now are people who think they're entitled to something. Nobody's entitled to anything. They're only entitled to what we make and what we do. So you got to get out there and work, yeah. But the work should not be skewed so that the majority of the profits go to people who are sitting on their ass in the penthouse doing nothing, shuffling papers. There, yes, we need a coordinator. So you hire a business manager. But fuck these people who think that they can go from generation to generation and just live off an aristocratic life. We gotta stop it. In order to understand your environment, we have to decide what's good, and that's where we're going next. Because if you understand your environment, you can pick out one good thing, and once you have one good thing, then you have a focus, then you have a mission, then you have a goal in life. You can pursue that happiness. You gotta find out what's good, and you gotta commit to it. You gotta say, I'm gonna work towards that, and I'm working towards making people think a little more. That's my job, and hopefully you'll get a chance to understand your own environment in the near future. Take some time. Stand away from it all. Stop and think. And think about why you are at your... What's bothering you? What are the troubles in your life? Where do they actually come from? And don't just think proximate causes. Think ultimate causes. Think about the whole system and how it's arranged. Yeah, it's not going to change overnight. But we got to start steering it in another direction. Because that's what we do. We're going to flow through time and build our civilizations. And we have to steer the ship of state towards a better horizon. Than where it's going. You got to look and think where it's going and think about how you can change it and find your good. That's where we'll go next. Until next time, I'm signing off for Mostly Hairless Apes.